In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and welcome to Morning Coffee with Dr. T. I send a warm welcome to everyone who joins us live and to everyone who listens to this broadcast as a follow-up on Substack, which is drtenpenny.substack.com. We'll get like 15 to 20,000 listeners then. We realize that a lot of people are probably working now to do a live event, but hopefully that you'll be able to listen to this later. We do a morning coffee every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. In fact, all of our podcasts are now broadcast every day at 11 a.m. Monday is This Week with Dr. T. Tuesday is Happy Hour with Dr. T, which is a biblical post with authors and Christian business people and pastors. Wednesday is Morning Coffee with Dr. T. Thursday is a deep dive Bible study that we do, usually a 4 to 6 part series with a previous author that we really, really enjoyed. In fact, this month, we're starting a whole new series on Bible eschatology with Justin Prock. It's really good. It's a replay from about a year ago. And so I don't think a lot of people probably have seen it. It's a new, really, really, really good 4-part series that we'll be doing here in the month of April. And then Friday is from the archives. I've done so many great interviews with so many interesting guests over the last couple of years that I don't think a lot of people actually saw. And so that's why we were posting Friday from the archives. And that is a really popular post. I mean, people watch a lot of that podcast. And then every day on drtenpenny.substack.com, we post a little short thing for you to read and just like a little thought for the day, thought-provoking thing. Monday is Medical Minute. Thursdays is Throwback Thursday. Friday is Fast Fact Fridays. And so we just post little things up there just to give you a focus for the day. And we really appreciate all your support. We appreciate the people who follow us, who read our stuff, who buy from our store, and particularly those of you who've become Tenpenny Prime members. You know, our Prime membership started at the first part of this year. We have 3 benefits for the Tenpenny Prime members. One is a topical white paper that I post every month. In fact, today is the day, it's the second Wednesday of the month, that we post a topical white paper. And today, for the month of April, we are doing a whole series on reproductive health and infertility in both men and women. So the topical white paper today is like 26 pages long. It's about testing and procedures that get done for reproductive health and also for infertility in men and women, both men and women. So it's just something that you can read through and see what's being done. It's a lot. And it was a lot to put that together. Next week, we'll be posting an educational presentation about reproductive health. I'm going to be doing a presentation on the HPV vaccine. And they want to give that to little girls starting at age 9, and now they're also giving it to little boys. So I want to talk to you about, and the educational presentation is for our Tenpenny Prime members only. And it's going to be really about human papillomavirus and what is that all about, more so than just about the Gardasil vaccine. There's some in there about the vaccine, but it's more about human papillomavirus, what it causes, and why you should not be concerned. And then we're going to have 2 Ask the Expert webinars this month. One is the last Wednesday of the month, that we're going to be doing with a male urologist talking about male reproductive and infertility problems. We'll talk about prostate health. We'll talk about testicular health. We'll talk about testosterone, erectile dysfunction, prostate biopsies, why the PSA is not such a great test anymore. It's going to be a lot of good things about men's health that we don't usually talk about on this show. So it gives me a good opportunity, gives us a great opportunity for our Tenpenny Prime members. It's part of your benefit. It's one of your benefits of your membership to really get to talk about men's health, which we really don't do. And then we're also going to be doing a webinar on women's health and reproductive health with Dr. Kimberly Biss for the women's health part of it. So you get two Ask the Expert webinar events in the month of April. And so I really am hoping and for all of you that are Tenpenny Prime members, we really appreciate you, and your monthly support or your annual support is really what keeps this organization going. It's what, you know, between that and our store and our webinars and the books that we sell and things like that, all of those revenues keep this organization going. It's a big ship to keep in motion. So we're so grateful for the Tenpenny Prime members. If you're already an existing member, you can log into your regular site at drtenpenny.com. If you want to join us and become a new Tenpenny Prime member, you go to shoptenpenny.net. shoptenpenny.net, and you can hover over the membership tab and you can see all the benefits that you get from membership. While you're there, also hover over the education tab. It's like, you know, I was there this last week because I was looking for something, and it's the first time, this is a new site that we're putting together, and it's the first time I've ever spent a lot of time on that site, and I was kind of wowzered by it. I mean, the layout is great. It's easy to navigate. You can see, you know, what each of the webinars are. You can have, that's where the links are to the parasitism and the parasitism in the brain webinars that we've done before. It's a link where you can find our educational courses on vaccines. It's where my books are that'll be sold. And my new book, oh, I left it upstairs, Zero Accountability in a Broken System, How the Pharmaceutical Industry Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. It's now available in ebook fashion at shoptenpenny.net under the education tab. And it's also, the print copies are available on Amazon. They'll be, we're not really talking about that too much right now, but well, if you want a print copy, we'll be doing that. We'll also be making people that have gotten an ebook copy. We've got some special deals that are coming up for you to support us and to get that going. It's a good sized book. It's like about 325 pages, lots of call out boxes, lots of great information in there that I kind of put my heart and soul into this book because, and when I read it for the fourth time, you know, when you go through the editorial process with the publisher, they send you back copies and you're going back and forth and making sure everything's okay. And I hadn't read it in a few months because, you know, after a while, after you're just in it and in it and in it and in it and in it, you just are like, enough already. And you just set it aside. And I hadn't read it for about 4 months. And so I had to read it this time because this was the final read through. And I'm reading through there and I'm going, man, this is good. Did I write this? Did I really write this? This is really good. It has great information, the way that it's written. You know, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys did the foreword on the book, and Suzanne and I have been friends for a really long time. And she said, you know, I thought I knew most of the material in this book anyways, but I learned a lot. And there were a lot of things that the way that you put it together and linked these things together, I just hadn't really considered those things before. So with Suzanne saying those things, and she's been around for a long time. She's an excellent speaker. I'm sure a lot of you heard her interview with Joe Rogan. It was really, really good. And, you know, she wrote a lot of really cool things about it. And we're going to have another really good webinar with her in just another couple of weeks. So I want to thank everybody for being a Tenpenny Prime member. You can go to shoptenpenny.net. Look, hover over the membership tab. Spend a little time on that site. It's really laid out really well. And it really is very user-friendly in terms of finding things either under the membership tab or under the educational tab. There's also a tab there for our store, for our great supplements, for our great swag, for our t-shirts and sweatshirts and things like that. Join us to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. So I want to thank you so much for your continued support. I guess that's all I had to say to get started here. Let me see. I guess there was one question that already came up about what was my personal opinion about what RFK said on that interview when he said, the MMR is the best way to stop the spread of measles. There's actually some truth to that, because of what MMR did actually when the measles vaccine was released back in 1963, there were somewhere between 500,000 and 700,000 cases of measles per year in this country. There's 500,000 cases. And what the vaccine did is it stopped transmission. And that's when the actual number of cases plummeted, because it stopped the transmission. It didn't stop measles. It didn't eradicate measles. It didn't even necessarily protect you from getting a measles infection, but it stopped the transmission. But the problem is that, you know, I feel like a lot of what he said was kind of taken out of context. And I do feel that it's been very divisive inside of the health freedom movement and inside of the anti-vax movement and the people that are really have really been supporting RFK either while he was running for president or greatly supporting him as he was getting nominated and then confirmed for HHS. Bobby is not the villain here. The villain is Senator Cassidy. And we need to make that a really big deal. Senator Cassidy from Louisiana as soon as he confirmed Bobby and put a short leash on him of what he was allowed to do and not do with the vaccine schedule, he was promptly rewarded by the pharmaceutical industry. Not huge sums of money. I think the sum total was around $12,000, maybe a little bit more than that. But nonetheless, he was rewarded. And so this is a way to not allow RFK to really do what he wants to do or what I know in his heart believes needs to be done. It's politics. It's walking through a field of landmines. I was told when all of this stuff started happening at HHF, a friend of mine who's an attorney said, are you sure you want to get involved with politics and that you would like a job inside of government? Have you ever had a job inside of government? In fact, I don't know that I'm employable because I don't know that I've had a boss since I was just out of medical school. I've always been my own boss. He said, well, you know, you've made a big, big difference in people's lives, Dr. T, by doing the things that you're doing with your writings and your podcasts and being a guest on other people's shows. And he said, you won't be able to do that if you're employed by the government. And, he said, I think that you can continue to make a bigger impact just by continuing to do what you're doing. Well, we'll see. You know, I still would like to be able to maybe get on a committee, a vaccine research committee as a consultant. I think that that would be something, someplace that I would fit. And I'm concerned that this whole topic about measles and Secretary Kennedy is just being very divisive inside of our health freedom movement. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, and I could be as wrong as the day is long, but it seems to have split the community again. And it seems as though we're always splitting this community with all sorts of things in friendly fire and not realizing that we need to band together because the enemy's over there and not be infighting and fighting each other. But it seems as though to me, there's kind of two factions. Either the one faction that says they support Bobby, Secretary Kennedy, 100%. He's the right person for the job. You know, give him some grace, give him some time. He's only been there like 60 days. He's got a lot of politics to move around and just can, you know, who else could do that job? And we really wanted him to get into that job. And so now we just have to be a little more patient. And so that's kind of like the one part of the community. The other part of the community is like, you know, we put him in there because we wanted action. We wanted wins. We wanted him to, you know, kick butt and take names later and get things done. Unfortunately, that's not really how government works. And then when you've got people like Secretary, like Senator Cassidy and Pocahontas and some of these other, like Wyman and some of these other miserable octogenarians that are up there, it's, you know, the political layering is really difficult. But a lot of people are saying, you know, I've waited for 30 years for this. I'm wanting some wins. I'm wanting this to come out in the truth, because every day that goes by that you don't take action to remove the COVID vaccines from the pediatric schedule, so we stop giving COVID vaccines to 3-month-olds, or to go to the PrEP Act and write an additional amendment saying effective immediately, there is no more emergency use authorization coverage inside of COVID because it's no longer existing. We're not going to let this run out till 2029. That could be done like with a swipe of a pen. Go to Congress and get funding for the CICP program, for the Covered Countermeasure Injury Compensation Program, which I write a lot about in my book, because it's just appalling. That could have been done like day one. And I think it's really important to get these low-hanging fruit wins, like the stuff that's happening out in Utah, that the entire state now has passed a law to take fluoride out of the water and to do more things. It's happening more in Florida and other states. It's riding on the coattails of the judge in the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit is California, Oregon, and Washington, which tends to be a very liberal circuit court. But this judge came out and said, yes, there was enough evidence to show that fluoride in the water lowered IQ in children, and we need to tell the EPA to stop it. Well, a lot of the momentum going forward with these legislations is coming off of that ruling from that judge. The problem with that is that the Fluoride Action Network and all of these other community action networks that have been trying to get fluoride out of their water for decades is suddenly like, it's a brand new thing. No, these people that have been working on this have been working on this for decades. And we're grateful that it's now finally happening, but it's kind of low-hanging fruit. And telling getting the food additives out, they're really not doing the food additives. The only state that's really putting their foot down about we don't want to have food additives and food colorings in our food anymore is West Virginia. And they actually passed a law saying that no foods are going to be allowed in their state beginning in 2027 that have food additives or food colorings, which is a really great celebration, except for two things. You just have to keep watching. I mean, they're giving them until 2027 to do that, which is fair, because for manufacturers, if they have to retool, redye, take the dyes out and put in things like red, like beetroot coloring or hibiscus coloring or something like that to achieve the colors in the foods that they want to have, but to do it from a natural or organic sort of thing, that takes time. The downside of that taking time is them going behind the scenes and cutting deals. Well, you can just let this one pass through, right? We'll just put this one underneath generally recommended as safe, right? We'll just do this or that. So it gives them a lot of time for some wiggle room. We hope that West Virginia, their representatives will stand strong on that. Those are all important things. The pesticide bills to, you know, keep out glyphosate and all the different pesticides are really amazing. But that, you know, but those are, in my opinion, again, kind of low-hanging fruit. So the people on the side of the health freedom movement that are saying, we want to see some real action, like stop the PrEP Act, like fund the countermeasure program, like take COVID shots out of children, like take pharmaceutical advertising off the television that has been hinted at but not been done, like do something that shows movement, forward movement. That's the one side. And the other side is like, be patient, be calm. There's good things coming, you know, give it a little bit of time. And so I kind of feel like the best place is in the middle, like give grace and understand things in politics move slowly. And they're Bobby's surrounded by so many alligators and snakes and tarantulas and poisonous bugs you can't even imagine. So pray for him to make the right decision. On the other hand, we do need to see some movement, some faster movement on some bigger things to really pull this into motion of where we want it to be, because we only really have like 3 years to get these things accomplished. Yes, it's only been, you know, about 60 days, but on the other hand, time moves quickly. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's only, you know, 2 more weeks till Easter, and then April's over, and we're halfway into Q2 of 2025 already. So time moves so quickly, and so we've got to start moving some of these things forward. And honestly, if we don't start taking down that pediatric poisoning schedule that I said I was going to be calling it, it's in our newsletter that I love. I mean, Diane's done this great job in our newsletter, and there's a new feature in our Friday Focus newsletter. It's the very last feature. It's like next week's podcast guide. So we're trying to cut down on the number of emails that go out because of all the things we do, all the podcasts, all the Substacks and things like that. So we're sort of trying to consolidate. So on the Friday Focus newsletter that has right at the top, it's just so well designed. It says Friday Newsletter Quick Guide. It talks about our webinars, a health tip, a science for the sharper mind is Sweet Dreams Start Here. And we talk about a little bit of things about like MyPillow. There's some articles that are written by the fed up Texas chick, that she writes a lot of things for us. And there's also other articles that were over. It's called the Tenpenny Report now. It was Vaxter.com. If for years you've been following a lot of things that I wrote and other people wrote, we have guest authors over there at Vaxter.com. It's now called the Tenpenny Report. And then there's always a link to one of my Substacks on both of them, the Eye on the Evidence and the Walking with God. So, there's a new feature that says next week's podcast schedule, so that you can see it's who's going to be on and who our guests are going to be. So I think that just a full circle on that, I think give grace, continue to support prayers, but continue to push to really deal with this vaccine schedule, this pediatric poisoning schedule that parents get badgered into bringing their children in to get all of these shots on time because they need to be vaccinated. I think that parents need to start saying, I don't think I want my children to be poisoned. All you're doing is injecting poison in them to try to avoid a fever, a cough, a rash, some diarrhea. We're poisoning children. And I made a commitment to myself a few weeks ago that I wasn't going to talk about pediatric vaccination schedule anymore. I'm now going to call it the pediatric poisoning schedule, because we do it regimentedly, on a schedule, on time, to inject children with all of these poisons that give them ADD, ADHD, insulin, asthma, allergies, insulin-dependent diabetes, a long list of neurological problems, cancer, all kinds of things. There was an article, I don't know, Cookie, if you have access to it, but there was an article on Cheryl Atkinson's Substack that came out this week that was really good. And she took 52 of like the most commonly reported illnesses, and she cross-referenced it to several databases and looked at probable causes of these 52 conditions. And then at the very bottom of the Substack, she did a summary. And of those 52 conditions, 47 of them could be linked to vaccines. Wow. And glyphosate, food additives, pesticides, even microplastics and all of those things were much, much further down the list. But 47 had connections or potential connections to vaccines. The pediatric and adult poisoning schedule is there, and it's time for it to stop. We have a 200-year multi-generational indoctrination that parents feel like they've got to take their kids into well baby visits. And well baby visits are by most pediatricians, not all of them, but most pediatricians are just an opportunity to vaccinate. They don't talk about milestones and when to start eating, what kind of food, and what to watch for in terms of pinching and crawling and rolling over and eye contact, and when they start to make verbal engagements. They're not teaching parents of what things to look for in terms of a pediatric development. It's just an opportunity to vaccinate. And I've said that for a long, long time now. Long, long time. So, Cookie, I think I've said about as much about that as I want to say about that. I don't see any questions in the chat. Do you see any questions out in the discussion?
I have about three questions here. And by the way, I did post for those that are in the chat. I post Cheryl Atkinson's article in the chat. So we have a question on Rumble here. And it says, if a prescription has aluminum in it and you take zeolite to remove it, will that ruin the effectiveness of the medication?
Good question. And the answer is no. The aluminum is there it's as a flow agent, and it's should not be in any medication, honestly. And, you know, it's also a carrier molecule, which helps to carry the medication that it's bound to into the cells. Once it's done its job, it needs to go away. So using the zeolite to get rid of the aluminum is an excellent way to get that out of your system so that it improves your brain health, your overall immune system. And maybe if you get rid of the toxicities, maybe you won't even need that medication.
Okay, I have another one here. I've read that one third of all people on the autism spectrum also have Lyme. What is the relationship between autism and Lyme disease?
Well, I haven't read that. You know, there's a lot of hypothesis about what all is associated with autism, because people don't want to admit that it's vaccines. People don't want to admit that the 109 chemicals and the activated adjuvants and all the aluminum and mercury. I mean, there's almost 12,000 micrograms of aluminum that if you get every shot on the schedule, and they don't want to just say they would rather blame it on Lyme, or blame it on Borrelia, or blame it on, you know, sunspots. They would rather blame it on anything rather than just blame it on what it is. Now, they may have Lyme if they have a suppressed immune system and perhaps they've been exposed to Lyme. But I don't really, I haven't really read anything about that. But, you know, in our Parasitism in the Brain conference that we did, that's available at shoptenpenny.net under the education tab, the one that we just did on April the 5th, which Parasitism and the Brain, Dr. Jason Dean and Dr. Wolfman and Dr. Merritt all talked about Lyme disease and different things that they suspect with Lyme and the brain and what you can do about it. So they were the experts on that. You know, on the Parasitism course, I was really the moderator, but that's available at shoptenpenny.net underneath the education tab, so that you can go and you can kind of look at that. And Michelle's showing you the website there, which you can see what it looks like. Yeah. Okay, next question, Cookie.
Okay. Many people report hearing loss and tinnitus immediately after the jab. Can you talk about hearing problems post-jab?
Well, you know, the jabs really, the spike proteins in the jab and the mRNA can cross the blood-brain barrier. So when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, all of the nerves in the brain are subject to attack. So I wrote an article on my Substack about vision loss after the jab. And so it can attack any one of the cranial nerves. The eighth cranial nerve is the one that goes into your ear and allows you to hear. It's also the one that, once it's chronically stimulated, that gives you tinnitus. And tinnitus is a big umbrella term for a lot of different abnormal sounds. It can be a high-pitched squeal. It can sound like a roaring train. Sometimes it's just that you can obviously hear your heartbeat very loudly all the time. It's a very annoying problem and really doesn't have a lot of great solutions even before the jab. I would see people that would come into the office for tinnitus and my heart would kind of sink because there really wasn't any good solutions for them. I mean, once that cranial nerve that goes into your ear is augmented or damaged, there's really not a lot of solution for that. So there's a lot of causes for tinnitus in terms of what they see. The only thing that they used to talk about a lot, like completely 100% removing white sugar from your diet. White refined sugar can have a benefit to improve your hearing and to decrease the tinnitus. I saw that work in a few people, but not consistently enough to say it happened in everybody. I did see it get better or improve in a few people. So yeah, that's just the jab. I actually got a text message last night from a friend of mine that lives in Connecticut, and she said two patients had or three patients had come into her clinic that day. There was two paramedics and one EMT, and all of them were saying the same thing, that they are still on a massive number of runs, more far exceeding what they were before the jab. And the things that they're seeing the most now, before it was heart attacks and myocarditis, now it seems to be central nervous system problem and a lot of new onset seizures. There was an article that came out probably 3 months ago now that was talking about that there was so much damage caused by these jabs, and that we're seeing sudden death in people that had their most recent, two shots and a booster. Maybe their booster was more than 2 years ago, and we're still seeing people with evidence of spike protein, and in their system, 2.5 years after their last jab. And that article that came out said that the side effects and complications from these jabs may go on for 15 years. Peter McCullough's group wrote about that on his Substack. It was like kind of sobering, because a lot of people say, well, I got the jabs and, I must have got the placebo because I'm just fine and nothing happened. Well, I said from ever since I did the 40 Mechanisms of Injury course, I said it's going to be at least 10 years. It's, after the last jab, it's going to be 5 years when we're going to start seeing a lot of cardiovascular deaths, which is where we are now and what we are seeing. And I said it'll be about 10 years out when we start seeing a lot of autoimmune disease, and that the medications we have currently on the market are not going to help much with the symptoms. And we're starting to see that. In fact, I think there's something like 30 or 40 brand new autoimmune diseases with new names that they've come up with that they're already starting to see. This was an assault on humanity, and I can't believe that Fauci's still walking free on the streets. That's just astonishing to me that what they did was mass murder. Mass murder. And I think that that's I'm prayerfully hoping that one of these days there will be accountability. But it's sort of like my name in my new book, Zero Accountability in a Broken System. Like, so far we don't see any accountability. I mean, even with all the massive exposures of all of the fraud and abuse and theft that's been shown by Doge, I mean, none of those people that are, even Tracy Abrams, when they talk about her fraudulent NGO that got $2 billion, and they know that the money went into her account and they know her name is attached to it, she hasn't been charged with government theft. So, will there ever be accountability? That's what we're all waiting to see.
Dr. T, I might shock you for a moment as I show you this. I don't think you've seen this yet. Not only is there lack of accountability, there's continuous praise. Check this out.
Can't read
Look
it.
who's on the panel.
I can't read it. It's too far away. What does it say?
2025 Town Hall announcement press release in Sarasota, Florida, sold out room with Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, I saw that. I got invited to that event. It's on April the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So on a Monday, so it wasn't reasonable for me to go down there.
I know Dr. Latipo has made some waves about this, and the, you know this would reached out to DeSantis for sure. I'm not sure what's happening in terms of protesting or in terms of a local event happening at the same time on the other side of this spectrum, but this was shocking in Sarasota.
People on that panel.
She's an actress, the blonde one. I cannot remember her name. Cookie, do you know who that is? Or Diane? Let me see if it says over here. Oh, Glenn Close is one of them.
That's her.
That's her? Okay. Wasn't she in Glee or something like that? I don't know. Anyway, I don't know who the rest of the panel is.
Anatomy.
She was the only one I recognized.
She's in that movie, Sleeping with the Enemy, Glenn Close.
Well, hey. Isn't that fitting?
Fitting, yeah.
But if anybody's watching from Florida and in Sarasota, I know that Susan Sweeten from Freedom Health Connect is putting something out about another event on the same day in Sarasota that you may want to attend. Anyway, look out for that because I was just shocked to hear that.
Okay. Well, there's one question here. It says regarding 12,000 micrograms of aluminum in vaccines, explain what that actually means and the consequences. Doesn't that sort of speak for itself? I mean, 12,000 micrograms is like, I think it's 12 grams, isn't it? I'm not very good with metric. Hey, you Canadians, check my math on that. 12,000 micrograms is how many grams? Hello? I guess they left me. Okay, or maybe they're on.
Repeat that, Dr. T. Sorry, I was looking at some questions here for you. Go ahead.
12,000 micrograms is how many grams?
Let's see, how do you
I think it's 0.12 or 0.012.
know? It's 0.012.
Yeah, it's a lot of aluminum. 12,000 micrograms is a lot, and it keeps going and going and going. And aluminum is toxic to your immune system. It's toxic to your central nervous system, all of your neurological processes. It shuts down your immune system. Those are the consequences. I mean, it's just a lot, and it's cumulative and additive. It accumulates in your bone marrows and accumulates in your kidneys, and that's why using something like zeolite that we have had over 10,000 great testimonials of how it's worked in people's bodies to remove aluminum. Aluminum is called a light metal. It's not really a heavy metal, but it's a metal nonetheless that needs to be eliminated from your body. I just got the book, Chris Exley's book. It's been out for a while, but I just bought it. I haven't read it yet. It was called A Conversation with Mr. Aluminum. And he's the aluminum guy. I mean, forever and ever. So he said ever since he was in high school, he had a fascination with aluminum, and he was studied aluminum in soil and aluminum in the air and factory emissions and all this stuff. And he did his PhD on aluminum toxicity, and he was known worldwide as the number one researcher in aluminum until after he was given, I believe it was eight brains that were given to him of people that had autism that had died, and he was given the brains after they had an autopsy done, and he found the neurofibrils were loaded with aluminum in the brain, and that he published the data that suspected that aluminum had was one of the contributing factors to Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism because of the clotting up. It's like gooey, like if you had a piece of bubble gum and it just had it gooed with like a whole bunch of grains of salt in it, that he contributed to that. And after that, he was crucified in the media. He lost his job at the university. They took away his right to do research. They even took away his email address and said he couldn't even use it anymore, even though he'd used that email address forever. And he was just kind of crucified for exposing the fact that aluminum causes problems. And Chris Shaw, in Washington State here in the US, did the same sort of thing and found all of the horrible neurological problems that aluminum caused, that he and his staff were both like, oh my gosh, I'm never taking another vaccine ever that has any aluminum in it. And so those are the consequences. It's horrible. It needs to go away.
I mean, people refuse to use deodorant with aluminum. Why hasn't this clicked in the brain?
Exactly. Exactly.
I have another Dr. T.
Okay.
Mark is asking, he says, "Hi, Dr. Tenpenny, could you tell us about your health episode that you miraculously recovered from? Did you write about it and share the protocols? And do you think it was caused by shedding or transmission of the COVID vaccine?"
Well, I had a stroke in August of 23, and it was pretty bad at the beginning. I mean, I couldn't move my left arm. I had no use at all of my left hand, and I could barely walk. I could barely stand on my left leg. It was a pretty dense left-sided stroke. And I just was in denial about it. I said, this isn't going to happen to me. What is this? This is nonsense. I couldn't type. I didn't have enough strength in my finger to even push down on the key to even do like cut and paste sort of stuff. So I just typed everything with one finger on my right hand and started into a physical action program that immediately started in doing all kinds of in-home therapies. And then I went to my ECP center that we had here in Cleveland that has now moved to Venice, Florida. It's now in Venice, Florida. I moved the center down there. And I went to the ECP clinic and I was doing two ECP treatments a day to the point, and I could barely walk then. And the people literally had to put me on the bed because I couldn't lift my leg up on the bed and I couldn't really scoot over. And they were all, terrified and scared to death, saying, "What are you doing?" It's like, I'm treating myself. I'm not going to the hospital. I'm not going to do any of their nonsense because it's not going to help. And I actually looked up after the fact. So my doctor was like, "Well, you should have gone and gotten like the TPA, the clot buster." Well, I actually looked that up, and it's a darn good thing that I didn't, because more than 50% of the time, an ischemic stroke, which is caused by a blood clot that blocks off circulation that goes to certain parts of your brain, when they use the clot buster, that extends into a hemorrhagic stroke and makes it like, and it happens 50% of the time, and it makes the stroke so much worse. An ischemic stroke is bad enough. A hemorrhagic stroke, there's no really recovering from that. You can improve, but you can't really recover. And so I have written about it. I haven't published my writings about it yet, but I went to Cognitive FX out in Provo, Utah for 2 weeks. I had home physical therapy. I changed my diet. My two really, really dear friends, Tracy Strope, who you've heard her on the show multiple times before, and she has a really good friend whose name was Michelle, that food is medicine was their perspective. They dropped everything and came and took care of me for the first 2 weeks right after I had the stroke. They took all the inflammatory foods out. They took everything out of my cupboard and dumped it in the trash. And it made me sit on the couch and not write and not read and not be on the computer and go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and drink all this stuff that they made for me. And I was a compliant but not very happy patient. I didn't like doing all of that stuff. And Tracy was feeding me every 2 hours with avocados, which are great for your brain, and all sorts of things with olive oil and all that stuff. And I said, "You know, when I get off this couch, I'm gonna weigh 500 pounds." And she said, "Well, let's just see what happens." Well, in 3 weeks, after changing my diet and changing the foods and putting a ton of supplements and all these different things in, I'd lost 17 pounds sitting on the couch, recovering. So eventually I'm going to write about that. Eventually I've got another set of programs that are going. We'll probably get into that for next year. I'm going to wait until this is 2 years underneath my belt. I am like 95% better. I still have some weakness in my left leg, which is where the stroke actually started. I have some weakness in my hamstrings on the left side. I'm probably going to start into some better therapy or getting a trainer here in the not too distant future to really work on strengthening that and also gaining some stamina back. But it was, yes, I did so much work. I worked all the time, and I'm still working pretty consistently on the strengthening in this leg and the stuff that I'm doing and the supplements I do and all of that sort of stuff. But really, I think that where the miraculous part came in was from the tens of thousands of fans that I have that read my On Walking with God Substack and have bought my On Walking with God book. And we're continually keeping me in their prayers. I always tell people I did the physical work, but God did the heavy lifting, that He must still have important things for me to do, or it would have just been easier to just take me home, because this last 18 months have been the hardest 18 months of my life on all kinds of different levels. I feel like a little mini version of Job in a lot of ways, which I won't go into details about, but it's been really tough. And so again, your support, all of you who are listening to this today and in the future, your support in prayers for me and prayers for my team and our businesses, and you supporting us by becoming a Tenpenny Prime member, by buying, if you're going to buy supplements anyway, we really appreciate you buying them from us. I mean, all the things that have happening, it's been quite a ride. And my biggest take home for that, if anybody's listening to this that has had a stroke, or someone in their family has had a stroke, someone that they or a friend, never give up. You can always improve. My doctor told me about when I was about 6 weeks into this, and I was at the clinic and I was walking, I had my cane and I was walking, I was doing all the stuff. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you realize how far ahead of the curve you are?" I said, "No, I want this to be over with. What do you mean?" And she said, "Most people have a stroke, they go to the hospital, they go to rehab, they stop doing physical therapy when their insurance runs out or stops paying, and then they just say, well, I guess, stuff happens and this is just the rest of my life, and they just sit in a wheelchair and just wither away." I said, "You've got to be kidding me. That's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to do that." Well, I'm telling you all this to encourage anybody who's listening to this. When I was out at that rehab center at Cognitive FX, and their website, if anybody's interested, it's cognitivefxusa.com. Cognitive, because they have a big contingency in Belgium. So it's cognitivefxusa.com. If you want to read about them and see some of the things that they do, and I learned about that organization by someone who made a comment in my Walking with God Substack. They said, "You should go to Cognitive FX." I'd never heard of it, looked it up, had a consultation, and went out there. It's been over a year now. It's been amazing. It's been that long. But the last day I was there, I said to them, "I've got all my friends who are pushing me really hard and saying, you got 2 years to go through this recovery process. And whatever you have at the end of 2 years, where you are physically, mentally, stamina-wise, where you are at the end of 2 years is as good as it's going to get." And all of the therapists there told me, said, "That's old school thinking. That's old school thinking. That's not true." And they said, "We see people that have come in here, and maybe it's been 7 or 8 years since they've had a stroke, and they just learned about us, and they go through our program, and they may not recover 100%, but everybody improves." So I'm just telling you, wherever you are in that journey, if you don't like it, if you don't like that your hand doesn't work, figure out extensive therapy for your hand. My extensive therapy was playing piano, which I'd always played. So I really would sit at the piano and play simple C scales and do that. If you don't like that your arm doesn't move up, well, stand in front of the mirror and look at your good arm and say, well, I need to be able to shrug my shoulder. How do I make my bad shoulder do that? And you just keep working it until it starts to do it. Do a complete inventory of your body's musculoskeletal system. You don't need to be a doctor to do this. Just do and look, do things with your good leg, like tap your foot and say, can I tap my foot on my bad leg? If you can't, then work on it until you can make it get to that point. Because with the neuroplasticity of the brain, you can always develop new wiring systems for that. Can I lift my toes up? They had me do this thing out at Cognitive FX called toe yoga, which just blew me away. Toe yoga, doing different things with your toes. And I looked it up online, and sure enough, on YouTube, there's a bunch of exercises called toe yoga, TOE, toe yoga. And then, the same thing with lifting your leg up. One day I was just sitting there and I thought, what do I do to strengthen my leg? So I started taking my quadriceps and lifting my leg to where I could tap my leg on the underside of my desktop. I could obviously do it pretty easily with my good leg. I couldn't even lift my left leg when I started doing that. It was like, I couldn't even lift it. And I said, this isn't acceptable. I've got to keep doing this until I can do both sides equally. So that's just some encouragement for people that maybe have had traumatic brain injuries, that have had surgeries in their brain, have they been in a had a concussion or been in a car accident or had a stroke. Never give up. You can always get better. You know, God created us so that we our brains are amazing. I mean, I see people run down the street right now and I think, you know, they're over a hundred, or even walking down the street, like if they're walking their dog, there it takes over 100 muscles to walk. And people, once you, and that's one of the reasons why it takes 3 years for babies to go from, you know, laying there, then turning over, and then crawling, and then standing, and then learning to walk, and learning to run, and then all the cool things that people do with like skateboards and all the different things they learn how to do, and dancing and ballet and all of that. It's because of how many muscles are involved in ambulation. And I look at people walk down the street, and they're we just take it so for granted. So I encourage everybody every morning when you get up. Before you get out of bed, when you sit up on the sit on the edge of your bed and sit there for an extra 2 minutes or 3 minutes and just thank the Lord that all your body parts work, that I can get up out of this bed and walk into the bathroom and do my business and by myself, that I can brush my teeth, that I can comb my hair. Because if you can't put your arm up, you can't comb your hair. That I can use a curling iron. I just sit there for just a minute and think about the you are wonderfully made. You are fearfully, and actually that's what my cup says this morning. You probably can't see it. It says fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139, verse 14, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made and everything works. And if all your parts work, just sit on the edge of the bed. Take a couple extra minutes and say, thank you, body. Thank you for working well. And thank you, Lord, for allowing my body to work well and for taking good care of my body to make it work. So that's my little encouraging moment for the day that you need to take advantage, pay attention to your body. Take care of it. You only got one. You may have, you know, a bunch of houses, a bunch of cars, a bunch of bicycles, a bunch of motorcycles, a bunch of pieces of jewelry, a bunch of trips or travel things that you go on, but you get one body, one, and it's got to last you for 70 or 80 years. So take as good a care of it as you possibly can. Take the right supplements. We've got great supplements in our supplement store. We've got great things that you can do for your mind and your body and your heart. Take care of it. You only get one body.
Dr. Tenpenny, I might add, you were talking about neurological health, and aren't we doing that in the next couple of months? Aren't we doing a prime on that?
Doing what's that now?
A prime, one of our prime membership months is going to be on brain health.
Yeah, that's going to be this month is for the Prime membership is on reproductive and health and infertility. I already talked about that. And then we're planning right now, we're planning it for it to be the month of May to talk about brain health and central nervous system health, what you can do for your brain about dementia and memory loss and minimal cognitive impairment, which is a really, really big deal. MCI is the new buzzword for early detection of dementia and Alzheimer's and we're going to be doing a whole month for our Prime members on brain health. That's good. Thanks for mentioning that, Michelle. Okay, anything else out there, Cookie?
There's one, if but just to circle back when you were talking about the stroke, I always chuckle deep inside because my father had a really bad stroke over 20 years ago, and they told him he was never going to walk again. They told him he was actually never going to use his left side again at all. And I remember the day in the hospital when my father said, "You don't tell me what to do, God does." And he gained back 85% of all mobility on his left side. Until this day, he has other struggles because now he's elderly now, and but he's still moving around. And so, that mindset of not giving up, that's it, that message, it
touched my heart. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And it's really true. When I only had three sessions of physical therapy. I contracted with this home physical therapy group, and this one gal, she came three times. And the first time she was here, she told me a lot. She spent like a couple hours with me. The second two times, not so much, but the first time was great. And one of the things she said to me is one of the most important things you can do for your recovery. And I think this is true for any illness, whether it's a stroke or whether it's cancer or autoimmune disease or whatever it is, it's your mindset. You know, if you just kind of say, oh, I guess I have asthma or I got cancer or I've got a stroke, and you just give into it, that's the place you stay. But she said the most important thing that you can do is have a really strong mindset that you're going to get over this and you're going to recover from this. And that's really true. Really, really true. And Cookie, your story just supported that. So that's very good. Was there another question in there before we close out for today?
There was one wanting your opinion. Lori was asked, or Lori says, Dr. T, I'd like your opinion on the standard process supplement line that many chiropractors prescribe.
Well, I know Standard Process really well. I know Charlie, who's the owner and the founder of the company. They're very good products. They're whole food products, and I suppose they're good supplementation for if your diet is kind of crappy. But I've never understood some of their product line. They have like a calcium tablet that has 10 milligrams of calcium in it. Which seemed like I could get more calcium if I just ate a baked potato. So I don't, you know, there are certain things, there are adrenal supplements. We use those. We use those in the office. The adrenaline that they have has been really good. But we were never really big users of that whole product line. Not that it's bad. It's just that it seems like they're kind of, you spend a lot of money on on the things that you could get from a good diet. And people that are using them and are getting great success with them, don't take that as like you should stop it. If you really have made you feel better and they really seem to be helping you, then for all means keep on with it. I mean, they're a good company. It's just I it's hard for me to get my head around the what they sell.
Dr. Tenpenny, I'm getting some messages on Telegram. First, I'll start with Cookie, by the way, Cookie. And it's so nice to have all of these interpersonal conversations within our team. So everybody knows we're real people. And we're kind of going through the same things you all go through, too. So from our own team to Cookie, Diane and Patricia are saying, goosebumps, I'm not crying, you're crying. And that's from Patricia and Diane. So that was very heartfelt, Cookie, and thank you for sharing. It's always great. I'm getting another message on Telegram from some of our morning coffee people, I guess, out there because they're not in this chat for some reason, asking about the parasitism course that we did. Not all of them were able to attend, but they're wondering if you have some fast, a quick fact solutions that people can do without having to go through the entire course if they're not able, if they can't afford it or whatever that might be. They're asking if you have some quick things that they can possibly do to help improve themselves within that topic.
Well, I think that, this new product that relatively new product that Touchstone has, the Parashield has really been beneficial for a lot of people. And I'll read you what it says. It's an advanced herbal cleanse to detox the gut, strengthen natural defenses, and support digestive balance. It's really tasty. I really like it. You take a dropper full twice a day. It's got a little bit, it's a little bit tangy. You can either put it in water, or you can just take it underneath the tongue. And they have your first bottle, it's only $15. And the way that you take it is one dropper full twice a day for 3 weeks on and 1 week off. And even Jason Dean, who was part of the parasitism course, and he's got his own parasite courses and parasite products, he has started using Parashield, and he said the results have been terrific. And so that is sort of a down and dirty, very inexpensive, only $15 for your first bottle of this. So that might be a really simple way to start with the parasite cleansing. Now, remember, parasitism is much more pervasive than just parasites. It's also the mental, emotional, and spiritual side of energy vampires. But for just overall health, and if, you know, for detoxing physical parasites from your body, we really recommend this new product that they have, Parashield. You know, another product from Touchstone, there's two other products from Touchstone. You know, of course, the zeolite that we've talked about for a really long time, and it really is important for getting rid of metals. But I'll tell you, their glucose control and their boost. I love those products. I take them every single day. The glucose control I take in the morning, it sort of cuts down like on cravings. It really helps with the intermittent fasting that I do. But the boost product, usually about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I start to get a little bit sleepy and I feel like I just would really like to take a nap, but I can't take a nap and I'm coffeeed out. I don't want any more coffee. My 1 or 2 cups that I have in the morning is plenty. And I'll take 2 or 3 of these boosts, which is an herbal product. And I'm telling you, it's just like somebody just takes the rheostat of your brain and just turns it up. Just makes you feel awake and alert. And like either you had a nap or you had a cup of coffee without the caffeine buzz. So I don't know if do we have any assets of those, Michelle? I don't know. Do we have anything up there that we...
Let me grab an asset from Diane for the boost. For the audience, anyone who hasn't tried the Gluco yet, you can get your first bottle for $10. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's $10. So you can get that at bit.ly/Gluco10. And I've put that into the chat as well. And I'll get Diane to put that up for the audience who's watching. So bit.ly/Gluco10. The Dr. Tenpenny mentioned the Parashield for only $15. We do have a short link for that as well. And that is bit.ly/DRT Shield. That's SHIELD. So again, bit.ly/DRT, like Dr. T, Shield. Let me get you an acid for that boost, Dr. T. Give me one sec.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I really do. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times you take supplements and you take vitamins like vitamin D and vitamin K and omega-3s. And I take SPMs and a whole bunch of other stuff that I take. I take iodine. I take all kinds of stuff. And you do it because you know it's good for you and you know that it's helping your cellular processes. But you don't necessarily like say, wow, that makes me feel good. Or, oh, I'm so glad I took my vitamins today because I can really tell a difference. You do it because it's good for you and it supplements things that may be missing or the things that you may need to, you know, turn up your metabolism or to help with lipid control and things like that. But I'm telling you, this boost is one of the only vitamins I've ever taken that you really feel like this is good stuff and it really works. And without feeling jittery, without upsetting your stomach, without having to drink any more coffee because you just get coffeed out. You've just, you know, a little bit goes for me, even though I love our coffee and I still use every day the My Coffee that comes from My Pillow. The coffee that comes from My Pillow, I love their coffee, and I get it both in beans and in ground format of the extra dark. I, you know, but 1 cup or maybe 2 is really all that I want. I just don't want any more of that. But if you really need a pickup in the middle of the afternoon, and and it doesn't carry on into the evening, so it doesn't disrupt your sleep. It's got I don't know if you can see it, Michelle. Can you see it on that bottle, what the ingredients are?
Yep, let me check for you.
Yeah, because it's got green tea extract and I think ashwagandha, other things like that. But it's, I don't know, do you have it? Can you read it? Are you muted?
Yes, I was muted. So it says here, organic matcha green tea, grains of paradise extract, organic green coffee bean extract, organic Panax ginseng root, organic cocoa, organic rhodiola rosea extract, organic Ceylon cinnamon bark powder, organic hibiscus flower, organic opuntia. Do you know how to say that, Dr. T?
No.
Opuntia. Organic holy basil, organic green verba mat, organic cardamom, organic cloves, organic burdock root, and then probiotic blend, lactobacillus gasseri, bifidobacterium plantarium. And by the way, it does say take three capsules. I don't need that much. I take one.
I usually take two.
You take two? Okay.
Usually take two.
Well, you can also handle a lot more than I do.
Yes. I should probably try to see if I feel the same with one. I know that a couple of times I've taken three and I haven't felt any more of a boost with three than with two. And so I've been taking two just to conserve on pills and conserve on money a little bit so I don't have to buy more frequently. Maybe I'll just try one and see if I get the same benefit from the one. But I'm telling you, this is one of the only supplements I think I've ever taken that you can take it and within 30, 40 minutes, you just feel like somebody just turned up the rheostat on your brain and you just felt like you just woke up. So I'm a really, really big advocate. I love all of Touchstone's products. Of course, we love their zeolite. I love their Parashield. I just started taking that. This one is really, really good. I think you will really like it. So if there's no more questions, we're kind of over our time. You got any more questions out there, Cookie?
Nope, I'm all clear.
Hey, Michelle, got any more?
Nope, that was it.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here with us today. It's always fun. I love morning coffees. These are like of all the podcasts I do all week, this is my favorite one. I just love having people here to ask questions and to be able to talk to. I wish we had a lot more people here live so that we could get a lot more questions, but I'm grateful for the people who are here and the ones who put up the questions. And of course, we really, really appreciate our Tenpenny Prime members. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything. He will never let you down. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to my team for all the great work that you guys do live and behind the scenes. You guys are just, none of this could happen without you. So I love you and thank you so much for your work. And remember, this will be posted on drtenpenny.substack.com. It'll be available to watch it again if you so desire. And with that, we'll see you tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, where we'll do our deep dive Bible study, starting with Justin Prock on Bible eschatology for this month. And if you're a Tenpenny Prime member, check your membership portal today because your white paper is available on reproductive health and infertility. So we'll see you all next week, same place, same time. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great week. Goodbye and God bless.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite.